down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, if you're a manager, have you had that feeling that you needed to be in control of everything in a time of crisis? Do you want to be the one who can fix it? My next guest thinks this is a dangerous and also next to impossible. It's my pleasure to welcome Steve Hearsome. He's the author of No Silver Bullet, Bursting the Bubble of the Organisational Quick Fix to Down to Business. You're very welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you, Bobby.
Now, I know that you work with teams and organisations, and I think a lot of the work that you do is getting them to increase their capacity for collaboration and experimentation. You've also been told that you're the right kind of fly in the ointment. I'd like to delve into that a little bit.
That was a few years ago when I was still working at a leading leadership and organisational development institute, and I was leaving. And one of my lovely colleagues, Andy, said to a client that he wanted me to work with, "You need Steve. He's the right kind of fly in the ointment." And the reason he said that is because he knows how I sharp, and he knows that I have a propensity for asking questions, and asking questions even if they're really uncomfortable but need to be asked. And it kind of stuck, and it fits with what I've been told over the years is what I'm very good at, which is that I bring a kind of useful discomfort to the client conversations that I'm in.
Yeah.
What I sometimes say, Bobby, is that I'm not interested in better sameness. There's plenty of consultants who will tell you exactly what you want to hear, but it's a waste of my time and your time if all you want is things to change and they really stay the same.
Yeah, no, and that's spoken from experience. And again, you know, I've seen consultants operate in various guises over the years, Steve. And, you know, the ones that know when to get out are the ones that always impress me the most.
Yeah, and it's if I say to you that what I actually say to my clients is my primary task is to make myself redundant as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I have zero interest in creating dependency.
Let's talk about No Silver Bullet. And, you know, you talk about leadership, and the natural kind of, I suppose, go-to in leadership is somebody presents you with a problem and you try to definitively fix it. But you're saying that really a lot of these quick fixes can be bad for leadership. Maybe you might just talk to me a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, one of the things we need to understand, Bobby, is what actually drives the need for certainty. You know, why do people who are in organisations feel the need for a guaranteed solution? I mean, let's be really clear. I'm not talking here about, you know, the kind of technical problems you get when a server breaks. I'm talking about messy, complex challenges like culture, talent, unexpected events like COVID or Brexit.
Yeah.
And faced with that, there's a whole raft of things that drive this need to find easy answers. I'm just going to give you a selection. The expectations that leaders have of themselves, but also that others have of them. The speed at which people are working, you know, the need to sort things out rapidly. Then there's the archetypes of great leaders. You know, this whole heroic leadership thing we still seem to be, you know, horribly addicted to. There's a kind of laziness here as well. It's too much like hard work or too uncomfortable to stop and think, hang on a minute, maybe this is a little bit messier or more complex than I think it is.
Okay. And do leaders then put the pressure on themselves to be perfect? In other words, is that part of the problem that a leader will say, well, it's my job as a leader to give a yes or no answer here?
It's both and. So there's the projections of perfection and heroicism onto the leaders, but there's also the internal narratives and the kind of ego ideal that leaders have. And I'll give you one very simple example. Late 90s, an American psychologist did some research. The thing that 19 out of 20 senior execs feared the most was their employees finding out just how inadequate they felt.
Right. Okay. Well, that's telling, isn't it?
Just a little.
So when we talk then about people being anxiety driven, or maybe bouncing from the next crisis, from one crisis to the next, and you know sometimes that happens in organizations, that you know all you can deal with is the tsunami of crises that keep rolling at you, and that becomes your leadership.
Oh, totally. I mean, let's be really clear. I take a compassionate position here. You know, it's really hard to lead organisations at the best of times often. It's particularly challenging when the unexpected happens. But, you know, if you are faced with crisis after crisis, the question then arises, what is the most useful thing you can do in response to that?
Yeah.
My contention is reaching for something being proffered by somebody who is guaranteeing for it to work is colluding.
Yeah.
It's a collusion between both parties.
Now, you talked then, Steve, about some suggestions around dealing with all this. One of your first ones is getting comfortable with not knowing, which I think is telling in itself, in that a leader needs to be comfortable with not knowing everything that's going on.
Correct. Absolutely. And but this, in a sense, this fits in with this idea of the myth of fixability, which is a lovely idea from a couple of chaps called Mark Cole and John Higgins. You know, this we're so kind of trained culturally and societally to think that we can fix everything, and fed into that then means we become less and less comfortable with the idea that sometimes we just don't know. We just don't know the answer to something, or we don't know why something is happening. So, you know, COVID again is possibly a really kind of visceral example. The idea that we will know exactly what happens when the pandemic comes along and we know how to respond was found out to be patently untrue in some cases.
Yeah.
So the not knowing thing is actually, just to get bit philosophical this early in the day, it's a kind of existential question as well. How comfortable are you not knowing what to do or what might happen?
When you say you need to cultivate a both and mindset, what do you mean by that?
So both and, this is the difference. So if you think about how change is often discussed, both in the literature, but also by thought leaders, consultancies, and actually the media, you know, if we're really honest, it's oversimplified. If we just do this, then that will happen. You know, if we do A, then we will get to B. Things are reduced to very simple constructs. And it also is reflected in the kind of the discourse we see politically and socially, that we're kind of losing the ability to take nuanced positions. We're not even allowed to be ambivalent about things. We either have to be for something or against something. So I'll give you, you know, in leadership terms, somebody I respect greatly once said to me, you do realize, Steve, that it's an absolute myth that people in high performing teams actually have to like each other.
Right.
So, you know, it's both and. It is entirely possible for me to respect you profoundly as a CEO or as a leader, but I may not like you as a human being. But we're no longer able to hold apparently contradictory positions. We have to be all something or something else. We also are wedded to the idea that if we're offered something as a solution, that it then becomes guaranteed to work, because the possibility of it not doing what it says on the tin, metaphorically, is too unbearable.
Yeah. Another one you say, and I think this is good, is to ask questions. You talk about, you know, the advantage of getting as many diverse people as possible who have a stake in the problem together, with permission to ask any question. So that's a meeting of sorts.
It is a meeting. It's the idea that, I mean, look, Bobby, you're probably familiar with Undercover Boss, the TV series.
Yeah.
The moral of every single episode of Undercover Boss is a senior leader, the owner of the business or the CEO, saying, God, I never would have known that unless I went and spoken to somebody who actually does the job on the front line. So the idea that senior leaders in the ivory tower or in their kind of their rooms together will know all the answers is inherently absurd. I mean, they simply can't. You know, their job is to take a different position and take a strategic view. But when there is something that people are struggling within the wider organization to know what to do, then when I interviewed people for the book, the consistent response in terms of what to do in the absence of a silver bullet was the next best thing was inquiry, and with as many people as you can who've got the permission to ask any question, however apparently stupid, and then maybe together you might find out what's going on and what you might do about it.
It brings me back to my old days of MBWA. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't. What's that?
Management by walking about. There you go.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that gets missed is that until we're all replaced by AI or whatever comes next, organizations are inherently human systems. They're relational. They function on the degree of connection they have. And if it's not a healthy connection, then it's not going to work.
So really then, in summary, what you're saying, Steve, is that, you know, there is no yes and no, there is no quick fix, that really we have to just have a much more lateral and flexible approach to problems that we're faced with in the course of our leadership.
Absolutely. And in a sense, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, there are voices out there who talk about leadership who do acknowledge this, but we need to get beyond the rhetoric. You know, when we hear language of agility and adaptiveness, what gets lost in that is the wrestle that sometimes requires. I mean, this work sometimes, Bobby, is really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because if we look at leadership and how often it's taught, it's a kind of performative act. Whereas in reality, most of the work that leaders I work with need to do boils down to a couple of very simple questions. It boils down to how they show up and the impact they have on others. And unless you get into that kind of conversation, it doesn't really matter what you do.
Yeah. And finally then, Steve, you work with organizations like the NHS. Now, again, as somebody who doesn't know or understand the inner workings of the NHS, that must be a fascinating, I suppose, place to observe, to advise, and to consult on leadership.
It is. I mean, you see the best and worst. You see people who are struggling to do well in spite of austerity, increased demand for services, and also, quite frankly, often appalling or very poor leadership and decision making at governmental level, you know, continually moving the goalposts and then everybody being expected to make things work whilst all the furniture is being rearranged. But it's also a fascinating example of what happens when leaders try and mandate change. So in the NHS, what you'll find is in the last 10 or 15 years, there's been much talk of systems leadership and the need for collaboration and creating conditions for autonomy and stuff like that. But all of that stuff requires people to be really good at conflict, to be actually quite adult and emotionally intelligent. And crucially, they need to be given the genuine permission and protection by leaders in order to do whatever it is that they're being asked to do. And so you end up with these very contradictory experiences for people in the organization. So it's a fascinating place.
Okay.
Absolutely fascinating.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that another day. But for now, Steve Hersom, the author of No Silver Bullet, Bursting the Bubble of Organizational Quick Fixes. Thanks for joining me this morning. Pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.